This morning I want to continue the series that I started a couple of weeks ago out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on the subject of love. How many realize that's a large subject, amen? There's all kinds of love and we're trying to narrow that down. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that it is not good for man to be alone. You know, when God made man and fashioned him out of the clay and then breathed life for him, it wasn't long when he looked down and saw man, and I just kind of imagined this in my mind, how he was fumbling around in the garden and he said, oh, we don't need him to be by himself. How many know what I mean? So why did the Bible say? So he made a woman as a helpmeet for them. Amen. How many realize that we need help in this world? Amen. Especially us men, we need help. If it wasn't for my wife, I don't know if I probably wouldn't be able to get half. She said, what do you do when I'm not around? Because I can't find anything. Does any of you men have that problem that you can't find things? I'll say, I can't find something. She said, I'll be there in a minute. And as soon as she says that, I usually find it. How many women? I don't know why. It just happens. But it's not good for man to be alone. And one of the reasons is because we're not good by ourselves. But the other reason that God created us and created man and woman, because he desires fellowship with us. Amen. We need fellowship with one another, and yet God desires us to have fellowship with him. That's why solitary confinement is such a horrible and harsh punishment, because what it does is it isolates us, you and I, from other people. How many realize that you and I need relationships? We need one another. Now, I know people who say, oh, I don't need anybody. But can I tell you something? Those are very lonely people. How many realize that? You know, people that don't feel like they need relationships with other people are lonely people. And they don't get the most out of life. And how many realize that God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly? So this morning, as we look into the importance of relationships in our life, I want us to begin to focus our attention on what God wants to do and how he wants us to build relationships in our life based on love. Can you say amen? I want to give you a couple of reasons why I believe that relationships are so important. Number one, relationships are important because they help us to enhance our happiness. It helps us to enhance our happiness. Relationships will not make you happy, first of all, let me say that. Have you realized that relationships can't make you happy? I know people who say, well, I'm going to get married because that's going to make me happy. Have you realized that's a train wreck waiting to happen? Amen. Relationships cannot make you happy. They can enhance your happiness. Let me realize that. They can make your happiness greater. When Jackie and I started dating, I was a happy guy already. Amen. But when I began to date her and then when I married her, my happiness was incomplete. Amen. Why? Because she enhanced my happiness. Relationships can either be the source of great pleasure or have me realize it can be the source of great pain. It goes both ways. But they're intended, based in love, to bring great pleasure and great happiness into our life. Did you know psychologists tell us that most psychological problems that we see in people are rooted in development of wrong relationships with individuals? That's why we have so many psychological problems. Another reason why I believe that relationships are important is because they can help us and assist us in being successful in our lives. How many realize that? I was reading the other day that one of the most important skills that you and I can ever learn is simply the ability to get along with one another. How many realize that's important? Just to be able to get along with your coworkers. How many have ever worked at a job that you couldn't get along with your coworkers? How many realize it's not a very fun place to work? Amen. I've been in churches to where it's been hard to get along with some of the church members. Amen. Not here, of course. But getting along, people, can greatly affect my success or failure, because God wants you and I to get along with one another, that we might enhance our happiness, but that it might help achieve us to our success. How many realize that God will put people in your life to help you to succeed? Amen. Can I tell you something? When I came to Evangel Church of God, he put me with a group of people who's going to help you and I to succeed in building this church for the kingdom of God. Amen? Why? Because I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. But how many realize that when you and I cooperate and when you and I get along with one another, then you and I can help one another to achieve what God's called us to do. Can you say a good amen? Hallelujah. The third reason I believe that relationships are so important is because it helps to build and develop character within our lives. Do you realize that from 1 year from now, what you are and what you do will be greatly determined by two things. One is what we allow to go through our mind and what we allow to, that what we think upon. And number two is the people that you and I associate with. 1 Corinthians 5:15-33 says, bad company corrupts good character. How many know that to be true? How many times have we seen that? We've seen people who are good, upstanding, great people get around the wrong crowd, and not long before it rubs off on them. You know, I've had teenagers say, well, maybe I can be an influence on them. How many realize it's usually the other way around? The other way around. That doesn't mean that you and I are to ostracize people that are not like us. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we ought to be built up in the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. So what we have does influence the world around us. Can you say amen? You know, when your children begin to suddenly change and start doing bad in school, or their grades begin to drop, or their personalities begin to suddenly change, you probably ought to check out who they're befriending and who their new friends are. I mean, you know what I mean? Why? Because they have such a great importance in our life. Who we hang out has such a powerful influence around us. That's why you and I should have good, godly influences in our life. Why? So that will rub off on us. Amen? So we'll grow in grace and we'll grow in wisdom and we become like the people that we hang around. Amen? Like the old guy said, it's hard to be an eagle when all you're doing is running around with a bunch of turkeys. Amen? It's the truth. When you hang around certain people, they're going to influence you. So it's important that we have those kind of good relationships in our life. So for the last several weeks, we've been looking at this series of love out of chapter 13. And we discovered that God intended for love to be the very basis of all of our relationships. Amen? But the problem with most people is we misunderstand what real love is. We spent a lot of time last week defining love, what true love is, what God's Word says. And God's given us an entire chapter to help you and I to understand what love is here in chapter 13. This morning I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to look at just one verse, and that is verse 4, where it says that love is patient. Love is patient. Now let me see, how many patient people do we have here this morning? Got a few. Can I tell you something? Do you know something? If you're not patient, you know what? It's not so much that you have a problem with patience, you have a problem with love. Don't look at me like that. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that love is patient. If you have love in your heart, how many realize that the outgrowth of that will be patience? Will be patience. Oh, this morning I want us to look at that. This passage of Scripture tells us that if we're going to have a viable and growing relationship, the first thing that we need to develop within our life is patience. How many like the little guy that said, Lord, I need patience and give it to me like right now? How many realize it's something that is developed within our life? And as you and I begin to learn to love according to the way God dictates in His Word and directs us to love, how many realize that patience will become a fruit of the Spirit within our lives? Amen? Patience become the fruit of the Spirit. Why would God say that love is patience? Well, one reason is He's had a lot of time being patient with you and me. Amen? Lord, has He ever been patient with me? Another reason God is patient and is the basis and the foundation of all of our relationships. You know what the Greek meaning of patience is? It means to have a high boiling point or to have a high tolerance. How many realize you got to have patience when you get on Highway 75? Amen? You gotta have patience when you go to Walmart. Amen? You gotta have patience when your spouse is not always acting the way that you would love for them to act. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. This world is the word is never used. This word patience here is never used in the Bible except to explain the relationship that we are to have with one another. Did you know that God tells us that I have to be patient with you? And you have to be patient with me? Why? Because He has been patient with all of us. And that is the basis of where we have love for one another. You know what? If I love you, how many realize I will be patient with you? It means that we are to be loving, patient. To love is to be patient. And to be unloving is to be what? Impatient. Why is patience so important in our relationships? For two reasons. Number one is because every one of us is unique. How many realize that? Look to your neighbor and say, hey, you're pretty unique. Amen. We're all unique. Because we're unique, we need to have patience. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 6. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. What Paul is saying here is this, is that every one of us are unique within ourselves. All of us bring something different to the table. How many know if you're a parent, you know that is completely correct. You don't have two children that are exactly alike, do you? My kids are completely different from one another. If we'd have had our son first, we wouldn't have had another one. Why? Because he's completely different than the rest of us. Amen. Why? Because he is unique in his own way. Our children are as different as night and day. They have different personalities. They have different likes and different dislikes. You can raise a child in the same home under the same guidelines and both of them will turn out in two different ways. Why? Because they're different. They're unique. And more likely, they turn out completely different. Why? Because of what God has given them. Did you know there's no two snowflakes that are the same? And can I tell you something? There's no two individuals that are the same either. Do you realize that our DNA and our body are not the same? All of us have a separate DNA. Do you know that every one of us have fingerprints that are different from everybody else? What is that? That makes us unique in our own ways. Hallelujah. Oh, we are unique in those things. God made you that way. It's not a defect. It's because God did something in you that He's done in nobody else. You realize there are five different factors that make you and I different from every other human being upon this earth. Number one is this. God has given you spiritual gifts that He has not given to other people. Those are the gifts and the abilities that God has given you to serve Him that I may not have, that other people may not have. That's why God gives them to you, so you can operate within the body of Christ. Number two is our desires make us unique. We are all motivated by different things, aren't we? We all have different desires. We all have different, they're unique, they're different things. Our abilities make us different. We all have been given natural talents and natural abilities. They all differ from one another. Why? Because we are individuals that God wants to use and He wants to take your natural talents, your natural gifting, your desires and use those things for the glory of God that is different from me. Our personalities are quite unique. How many realize that? If you don't believe me, just start talking to people. Amen. You'll begin to find out that personalities are as different as can be. Why? Because God put those personalities in our lives. Some people are very exuberant. Other people are very reserved. Some people are very loud like myself and other people are very reserved. But each one of us have certain personality traits that God has put within us. Why? For His glory, that we might be used for the kingdom of God. And it makes us unique. That's why we need to be patient with one another. Why? Because none of us are the same. You know, even our experiences make us different. Every one of us here has a story, don't we? Every one of us here have gone through different things in our life that has shaped us, that has shaped our personality, that shaped our thoughts, that has shaped the way we see things. And because of those things, we are different in every single way. But God wants to take those differences. He wants to take those uniqueness in our lives and use them for His glory. And God wants you and I to be patient with one another because none of us are the same. Amen? Because of our difference, it's hard to figure each other out. How many know what I mean? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11 says, "Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him?" How many realize that we can't know what's going on in somebody else because they're completely unique in our lives? If you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen? You know, I've been married for almost 40 years. And there's still times, you know what I'm talking about. There's times I just scratch my head and I'm thinking, what in the world is she thinking? Now, I love her, don't get me wrong, but I can't figure her out sometimes. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. You know, have you ever said things like this? I just don't understand why they did this or why she did that or he did that. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense for what they've done or what they're doing. How can they think that way? Our children will say, "My parents just don't understand me." Boy, that's a big amen, isn't it? I can't understand the music today. Hallelujah. Much less my children sometime. We all have difficult times with each other because we're all different. How many realize that? We're not all the same. Aren't you glad we're not all the same? We're not all the same for a reason. It's a design by God that we are unique. But yet in our diversity, God wants you and I to get along with one another. And He wants us to build that basis on the basis of love that you and I might be able to work together in the kingdom. When I don't have a strength, you have that strength. When I don't have that talent, you have that talent. And we all get along together for the common good that is rooted in the love of God. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. We all have a difficult time with each other because we're all different. We act different. We think different. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14 says, "Be patient with everyone." The reason we are impatient with people, how many realize this, is because a lot of times we misunderstand them. We don't understand them. How can I be patient with everybody? How can I be patient with people? We need to remember that God doesn't ask us to do something without showing us how to do it first. Amen? So how can I be more patient with people in my life? Well, number one is this. Remember how patient God has been with you. Amen? When you're quick to judge somebody else, stop for a moment and say, "Hey, listen, God had to work on me." We will never have to be more patient than God has already been in our own lives. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:6 says this, I was shown mercy so that the worst of sinners, Christ might display His ultimate patience. That was Paul writing to Timothy. He says, God showed mercy upon me. I was the worst sinner that He might display how much patience He had in my life for me. If anybody understood what the patience of God, it was Paul. How many realize that Paul was a persecutor of the church? And that he destroyed men and he killed people in the name of God. And yet God was patient with him and brought him along the way. And one day on the road to Damascus, God revealed Himself through Jesus Christ. And what happened? His life was changed. But God was patient with Paul. He was patient. The reason I should get along with others is because God gets along with me. Amen? Paul is telling us the starting point for our patience is to remember how patient God has been with us in our lives. Not only that, how can I be more patient with other people? I need to learn to understand individuals. Amen? Look at Proverbs 19 verse 11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. How many realize the more that you and I know, the more that you and I understand, the more that we can be patient with individuals. Amen? We can begin to understand. Look at Proverbs 14 verse 29. It says this, a patient man has great understanding. That word wisdom and understanding is the key to patience and for you and I to understand individuals and to get along with people. The more that you understand somebody, the more patient you are with them because all relationships are based on an understanding. Have you ever met somebody that was just a little weird? Amen. Don't look at me like that. Amen. No, we meet people that's a little off in the way that we think. Amen. But you know something? As you and I begin to understand those individuals, as you and I begin to have some communication with those individuals, we begin to find out what's gone on in their life. It begins to open our mind to understand why people act the way they do. Can I tell you something? Every one of us act the way we do because we've had stuff go on in our lives. Can you say amen? Stuff has gone on in our life. And the more I begin to understand that, the more patient I am with you. Amen. I'll tell you something. You know, I drive by here and we have a lot of homeless people in this town. How many realize that? You can't drive anywhere. But you know what? A lot of times we drive by them, we go, man, out on the street corner begging. I don't understand that. But you know what? Who knows what you would be doing if you had gone through the same thing that they have gone through? You might be on the sidewalk begging too. You might be doing worse things than just begging on the side of the street. Why? It's because what we go through. But when you begin to understand people, what they've gone through, what they've been exposed to, what they've had to suffer through, it gives you a heart of compassion, of love toward individuals, and you're not quite as judgmental as people on people when you don't understand. People have gone through a lot of stuff in this world, amen? And it affects us, the way we behave, the way we act, the way we think. But when you and I can come to that understanding, when you and I can get to know those individuals, we can sit back and say, yes, now I understand, and now I can be even more patient with you. Can I tell you something? I have a lot of patience with new believers. When new believers get saved and they don't know what they're doing, you know what I'm talking about. And they're constantly falling into sin. They're constantly failing. I have the patience of Job with those people. You know where I need the biggest help? I don't have patience with people who have been in Christianity for a long time that are still having a hard time living it. Amen? Yeah. Who are backbiters and who are gossipers and who are holier than thou. I have very little patience with them. God needs to help me with that. Amen. But why are that way? Because something that's going on to their lives. And once you and I can begin to understand those things, we can have a lot more patience for those individuals for what they have gone through. Amen. Oh, listen, why is it? It's rooted in love toward that individual. I love that individual, therefore I am patient with that individual. All relations are on the basis of understanding. You know, one of the deepest needs that a human being has as an individual is to be understood. If we could just understand one another. Paul Torrey, who is a Christian psychiatrist, says this, no one can fully develop in this world and find a full life without feeling understood by at least one person. No one comes to know himself thoroughly through introspection or in isolation or solitude of his personal diary. Rather, it is in dialogue with his meeting other people. It's important that you and I, when we come together, that we have some dialogue with one another. How many realize the more that you and I talk to one another, the more we begin to find out about one another. The more you and I find out about one another, the more understanding we have about individuals. Amen? I have a friend of mine who is in Lakeland who has a real bad case of PTSD. And because I know him, because we've had a lot of dialogue together, when he goes off on one of his PTSD moments, and sometimes they're quite scary, I don't run away from him screaming and yelling like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know what I do? I sit back and I go, I know what he's been through. And I'm not offended by what he says or what he does. Why? Because I have built some dialogue with him and I began to understand what he has gone through that makes him the way he is. Can I tell you, there are hundreds of thousands of people around us that have gone through some horrendous and atrocious things in their lives. And we wonder why they are the way they are. Can I tell you something? If we'd get to know them, we'd be a lot more patient, a lot more caring, and a lot more understanding toward those individuals, why they do the things they do. It's rooted in the basis of love toward that individual. Can I tell you something? If I love that individual, I'm going to be patient with that individual. Amen? Hallelujah. We find out who we are and what God wants us to be through relationships with other people. If I can understand people better, I will be more patient with them. If I can understand those who are attempting to hurt me or those who are attempting to hurt themselves, it will help me to be more patient in their lives. You know, Jesus says to love those that what? Hate you. Why does He say that? He's saying you need to have patience with those individuals that are trying to hurt you because they're really hurting themselves. Let me realize that. They're hurting themselves. And if you can begin to grasp and understand why they're doing the things they do, you won't be so offended by the offense as you will have love for the offender. Amen? Because love is patient. We can better understand. How many realize that behind all anger is hurt? And behind all hurt, there is misunderstanding. How many families have been torn up because of a misunderstanding? Someone said something that was interpreted wrong or come across the wrong way. I sent an email to Angie this week. And after I read it, I thought, ooh, that was very offensive. I didn't mean it to be offensive. But I wrote on the email, I says, Alan will be preaching Wednesday night, period. And it sounded like I was just saying, he's going to do it. I meant to put a question mark because I wanted to make sure that he was supposed to preach. But how many realize that could be misunderstood? And somebody can get offended by that. And the next thing I know, we've got people who are mad at one another for that. Thank God, I apologize. He said, I didn't even notice that. I didn't even pay attention to that. Thank God for being almost blind. Amen. Hallelujah. But what am I saying is, we misunderstand people, and behind that misunderstanding, there is hurt and there is pain. Amen? People say, well, they knew what they were doing. Well, can I be honest with you? Most of the time, we don't know what we're doing. Amen? Because if we are hurting individuals, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that what we inflict upon another person will come back to us. And if we really knew what we were doing, we wouldn't be doing that. Because how many realize, I don't want anything bad to come onto my life. So I'm not going to pass out anything bad. So when people are mean and people are angry and people do you wrong, you know what? Do like Jesus did. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. If you and I are going to be more understanding to those who come into our lives, amen, it will start by listening to them, amen? It'll start by listening to them. Listen to what Proverbs 18:13 says. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. I'm sure that you've heard the old saying, God has given us two ears and one mouth for a reason. You know what that reason is. We are to listen more than we speak, amen? We listen, and once we listen, what do? Then we can respond. You know, most people think that they're good listeners. But how many realize that most of us are not good listeners? You know what we are? We're good hearers, but we're not good listeners. My wife gets on to me all the time. She'll say, you're not listening to me. I say, well, I heard every word you said. I might have heard the noise, but it didn't compute. Amen. I wasn't sure what she was wanting, or I ignored her. We're good hearers, but we're not good listeners. Listen to this. Research says that only 7% of what you mean is communicated with words. Isn't that incredible? 43% of that meaning comes from how you say it. The remaining 50% are from nonverbal facial expressions and gestures or our body language. So what does that mean? It means that our eyes are just as important to your listening as our ears are. Amen? We need to learn to listen. Do you know the number one problem in marriage is? You know what it is? It's not money. You think it'd be money. It's not money. Can I tell you something? There's never enough money when you're married. Never enough. It's not money. It's not even sex. You know what the number one... It's not your in-laws. Well, it could be some of your in-laws. But the number one problem in most marriages in America today is a problem in communication. We don't listen. We don't talk to one another. We're not communicating. Jackie and I, before we got married, we were serious about this thing, and we went to premarital counseling. Hey, hallelujah. Praise God. We even paid for it. I mean, I was going to get everything I could out of that since I had to pay for it. And they gave us all these personality tests, and they set us down and began to tell us about communication, the number one problem. And they emphasized that. Listen, if your spouse is saying something to you that you don't like, or doing something that you don't like, you need to communicate that right off the bat. And so they're like, okay. So the first month that Jackie and I were married, you know, I would say to her, you know, I really didn't appreciate when you did such and such that. And she'd say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. And so we began to do that quite often. And she'd say, you know, that really offended me, the way that you acted toward me or the way that you did this. And I'd say, oh, I'm terribly sorry about that. I'll try not to do that again, okay? Well, that went on for several months. And then finally I said to her one day, you know something, I was greatly offended at what you did to me. And you know what she did? She looked at me and she goes, well, let me just tell you something, buddy. I was real offended. I'm offended at the fact that you told me that you're offended. I said, I'm sorry. How many knows? You know, you got to know when to leave the battle. Amen. Amen. So after that, we just quit. Amen. We had gotten it established right in the beginning, and now we just kind of look at each other like, yeah, that ticked me off. Don't do that again. It's kind of like, you got it, babe. We're good. But communication is that one problem in our lives that we lack. How do we are to be more patient with others? I need to listen and I need to communicate with one another. And then I also need to make allowances for one another. Amen? We all have bad days. Amen? Sometimes they go into weeks. Sometimes they're in months. But we all have our moments. But listen to what Ephesians 4:2 says. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Boy, wouldn't this be a great place to live if we would all operate in that one verse? Be patient, amen? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. The Living Bible says it this way, be patient with each other, making allowances for one another's faults because of your love. That's what God wants you and I. Love is patient. There's another good verse here found in Proverbs 12:16. It says, a prudent man overlooks insults. In other words, a smart man overlooks insults. Have you ever been insulted? More times than I like to admit, amen? Of course we have. But God's word tells us that we ought to just let it go. Let it go. I was with my daughter the other day, and somebody had put something really nasty on Facebook about her, called her a four-letter word and all that stuff. And you know what she did? She says, do you believe this? And I said, I can't believe that. And you know what she did? She laughed. She just laughed. You know, I thought to myself, you know, that is one of the greatest defenses toward insults, is just to laugh it off. Amen? Just to laugh it off. You know, my mom would say to me when I was a little growing up, and somebody would say something to me and I'd get mad and I'd want to fight and all that stuff. You know what she'd say? She'd say, was it true? I'd said, no. She said, why are you mad? If it's not true, don't worry about it. Just let it go. Just laugh it off. Have you realized that's some great advice? When people make insults to you, when they have insulted you, you know what you do? You laugh it off. Don't get mad. Just laugh it off. Amen? You know what you think? You say, they just don't know what they're doing. And I just laugh it off and I don't hold offense to it. You know, words only have power if I give them power in my life. I've been called a lot of things, trust me. And some of it wasn't a good guy. But you know what I do? I laugh it off. Now, let me just back up a little bit. Does it hurt? Absolutely it hurts. You know that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt or don't do any of that. Have you realized that's not true? Because words do hurt. They reach down and they are penetrating our soul and our mind. They hurt. Yes, they hurt. They tear us down. But you know what? If I don't give them the power to do that, they cannot do anything to me. Words cannot affect me if I don't give them the power to it. Can I tell you something? We're all a little crazy at times, aren't we? Well, maybe I'm a little crazy at times, okay? We're all a little crazy. We all make mistakes. But can I tell you something? We need to make allowance for people. We need to give people the benefit of the doubt. One of the churches I pastored at, I had a lady in my congregation who was offended at everything I did. Everything. Every week I'd get a call. Pastor Rick, I was offended at such and such and such and such, such. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what am I doing to offend this lady? So I finally had a meeting with her husband. And you know what I told her? I said, Mary, not you, Mary, but it was another lady. I said, Mary, I said, I don't sit around at night thinking of ways to offend you. I said, so would you do me a favor? And she says, what's that, Pastor? I said, would you go ahead? I said, I'm going to offend you again, I'm sure. But would you go ahead and just give me the benefit of the doubt that I didn't mean to offend you? And would you just go ahead and forgive me? She didn't know how to respond to that. How many know what I mean? Amen. But you know what? We just need to give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. And give them some allowance. Amen. Oh, how can I be more patient with people? And this is one that we all know, but we need to be reminded of it. We need to treat others the way that we want to be treated. Can I tell you something? You say, that's not new, Pastor Rick. No, it's not new, but it's very practical. And it works. Amen. Oh, so in everything, Matthew 7 verse 12 says, so in everything, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. If we could just live by this verse. Did you know that every marriage that's in trouble could be saved if we just live by this verse? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, does it? In your marriage relationship, if you want to be respected, then what do? You respect your spouse. If you want to be treated with kindness, what do? You treat your spouse with kindness. Amen? How in the world do we think that we can treat somebody bad and insult them and kick them around and make them feel and then expect them to treat us nice? But God's Word says that if we will treat others that way, treat people in the way that you want to be treated. Now I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to get a little personal with us. Amen? When you go to the restaurant, can I tell you something? Put yourself in that waiter or waitress's shoes, okay? And please treat those people nice. Amen? Why? Do you know that most waiters and waitresses hate to work on Sunday because of all the Christian folk? They demand the most and they tip the less. So do me a favor, especially if you're passing out my cards for the church. If you don't leave a tip, don't you dare put down a card. Amen. I don't want to be linked with that. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. But what am I saying? That's just not to do with waitresses, but it has to do with a checkout counter. It has to do with aspects in our life. Wherever we go, we're going to go where somebody's had a bad day. How many realize that? And they might treat you in a certain way, but you know what you do? You say, oh, listen, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and regardless of what they give me, I'm going to pour out something good for them. Amen? Why? Because in doing so, it's going to come back to me, pressed down, shaking together, running over. God's going to allow that to happen to me. Amen? How in the world do we think that we can sow anger and hatred and bitterness and expect to get a good harvest? But if we treat people good, how many realize that? People will treat you and I good. Hallelujah. Treat people with that same kind of respect. Amen? Philippians says this. It's practical. Philippians 4 verse 2. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same that was the attitude of Christ. What was the attitude of Christ? The Bible says that He came what? To minister, not to be ministered unto. He came to serve, not to be served. But sometimes I think in the church we get it all wrong. I'm here and you're going to serve me and I'm going to have what I want and we're going to get... No, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says we've come to minister, not to be ministered unto. I've come to minister to your needs. And in doing so, my needs will be met. Amen? Paul is telling us that we should pay attention to each other's needs. We should discover what other people are interested in and begin to deal with them and their interests and not just our own. Sometimes we become so preoccupied with ourselves, we fail to look out for somebody else's interest. The real key to patience is found in the very last part of that verse. God knows that it's not natural for you and I to be patient. It takes God's power in our life for you and I to be patient. I promise you this week, somebody's going to act like a jerk toward you. And when that happens, I want you to say, Pastor Rick said this was going to happen. Amen. It might be before you get out of the parking lot here at church. You know how it is. You don't want to be out there in that parking lot when people are trying to get to Denny's or to Cracker Barrel. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody cuts you off and it's... You know what I'm talking about. But somebody's going to act a way toward... But when they do, amen, God says, I need to treat them with what? Patience. Why? Because that's the basis of love in my life. How do we do it? We have the same mind that Christ had. When He was reviled, He didn't return that. Did He? No. How do you get to that? The only way you have that is to have Jesus in your life. So you can treat people like He treated them. And the secret there is patient. I want to read you a letter that was sent to a pastor. This person had wrote the pastor about something that had taken place. I want to read it to you today. It says, Dear Pastor, God has restored a marriage and rekindled a love that was virtually dead. God had to break and bend and finally mold me so I would be ready when God began to work in my husband's life. 5 years ago, I sat in the last row and I thought that you were surely talking to me when you spoke of Jesus' love, His forgiveness, and hope for the despairing. As my tears quickly fell, I found God's loving forgiveness and real hope in His strength. I went home that day with my 1-year-old son to a husband who worked constantly, drank heavenly, and was emotionally hurting. But this time, Jesus came with me. You'll never know the strength that God gave me in the months that followed. I wanted to run away and to start over, but I stayed and let God begin to do His work and begin the work and the change in me. I stopped praying for God to fix my marriage and to change my husband, and I started asking Him to change me. And through the pain, God sheltered me. 2 years ago, God removed from my husband the desire of alcohol, and He did it overnight. This past summer, I decided to get off the fence. In every area of my life, I gave Him all the areas that I stubbornly held on to. I said, God, whatever it takes to get close to You, Lord, I will do it. I'm going to stay in this marriage and I will let You do Your work in my life. 3 months later, through God's great timing, my husband accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Talk about a new marriage. I am married to a brand new man who loves God and wants his family to live according to God's will. You said on so many occasions that God can rekindle a dead love. Well, my husband and I are proof of God's caring, His power, His ability to change hearts and to bring to life a dead relationship. I love my husband now more than ever in my life. And for the first time, the priorities of our family are straight. Hallelujah. God first. God is so faithful to restore the years the locusts have eaten. He has been so wonderful to us. Now when my son prays, he says, Thank You, Jesus, for coming into my daddy's heart and making him nice to me and not mean. I love my daddy. As a family, we are expecting to grow in our relationship to Jesus and to be an encouragement to other people in our lives. Can I tell you something this morning? That is the power of patience at work in people's lives. Hallelujah. You see, we're so quick to give up. We're so quick to throw it all in. We're so quick to lash out. But God says, listen, love is patient. Love is waiting on somebody to get to the place where you are. You know, you can determine how good your friends are. It's how long they'll wait at a restaurant for you when you're late showing up. You know, some in 10 minutes, they're gone. But you know, if they really love you, they'll sit there all day waiting for you to show up. Amen? Can I tell you something today? The power of patience is waiting, hallelujah, on somebody to, for God to work in their life and not to give up on them. Amen. Oh, we give up so quickly on people. Why do we don't think, we think they do what we should want them to do, or we think they should think the way that we should think. I'm so glad that God has been patient with me and didn't give up on me. Amen. When I was acting like a fool and running and being crazy, God didn't give up on me. But you know what? The Bible says that He was patient and long-suffering. Long-suffering. I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 once again. I only read part of that verse, but I want to finish it today. It says, love is patient and is kind. Love is patient and kind. You cannot be patient without showing kindness. Let me realize that. You see, patience is expressed through kindness. When I could slash out, when I could lash out at you, and I could respond to you in anger, what does patience say? Patience says, no, no, I'm going to wait. Hallelujah. That's how God expressed His love toward you and me this morning. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, what did it do? Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, even though we weren't what we should be and we weren't what we ought to be, the patience of God, it was expressed to us through kindness, and He waited on us to get to the place where we would reach out to Him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't wait for you and I to get it right to show His kindness, but His patience expressed His love toward us by sending His Son Jesus that you and I might have a life. Amen. Would you stand with me all over this place today? Love is patient and love is kind. Loving and kind. That's what patient is. Love is waiting on you this morning. Did you know that? He's waiting on you and I this morning. Love is waiting for you. He's patient with us. Whatever you're going through this morning, can I tell you something? God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Right where you're at this morning, I want you to know He's waiting on you. Would you bow your head with me? Just play something softly if you would. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could just be honest with ourselves today. When I was preparing this message, I was beating myself up quite a bit. I think I'm a pretty patient guy, but as I begin to examine myself, I realize that I'm probably not as patient as I think I am. And I can imagine that you're probably not as patient as you think you are this morning. But can I tell you something? Patience is rooted in love. Patience is rooted in love. It is kind. And I want to reflect the very image of Jesus Christ. And I wonder if we could just be honest with ourselves today. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, I wonder how many would say this morning, Pastor Rick, I'm not probably as patient as I need to be toward my spouse or toward those around me or even toward the lost. And you would say, Pastor Rick, would you just pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? I want to pray. We thank you. Are there others? Thank you. You see, it's something that God is working. If I'm going to make an impact in this community, if we as a church is going to make an impact on this community, we've got to let love be the very basis and the very basis, the very first thing that God's Word says. He says love is patient. Love is reaching out. Love is understanding. Love is giving the benefit of the doubt. Love is loving and being patient in spite of what someone says or what somebody does. He's waiting for you and I this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know I need more patience this morning. I want to ask each of us, if you will, this morning. I want to ask you to just to step out and just come to this altar, just all of us, and just gather together. I want to close in prayer this morning. And I want to ask God to help us today, to baptize us in His love. That the patience of God would begin to manifest itself in our lives. Amen. And that we would see the glory of God, hallelujah, in our lives toward our fellow man, toward our spouse, toward our loved ones. Can I tell you something? If you have a husband or a wife that is unsaved, all the yelling and screaming and fighting is not going to bring them to the kingdom of God. But I can tell you something. If you're patient, if you're loving, and you let the love of God shine through you, can I tell you something? That'll have a greater effect upon them than anything you could say or do. Just come in as close as you can. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands with me today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be touched by His grace. I want to be touched by His mercy. I want love to be that foundation of my heart, and that patience would just flow through my heart and life today. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one that is here this morning.